All right, guys. Well, we're going to get started. If good morning, church. Hey, if you didn't get message notes, it would be good to get some message notes. Only because we're not going to rely on the screen. We'll actually get some. Okay, but even then, the fill-ins will be on the screen, and the final scripture will be on the screen that you see here. But this would be a good guide because the main passage is right here on these notes and the fill-ins, and any other scripture that I'm going to use, main scripture that I use, it's also written on here, so you guys could be following and turning your Bibles if you want to use your Bibles, but it'd be good for you to have one of these. But thank you for being here. It's always a blessing to share the Word of God here at Gold Coast with the church family, so I'm blessed to do that. We've been talking about the blessing. In Ephesians, the blessing that God has bestowed on us as believers, being in Christ, everything that God has lavished on us. And, you know, it sounds great, right? We're told to walk worthy of this high call, this holy calling of God on our lives. We're supposed to walk in love. We're supposed to walk in the light. You know, and if we're walking this way and walking in the Spirit, there's some beautiful fruit that we begin to see in our lives. Hopefully, godly marriages are a result of this because, you know, that's why we talked about submission and husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church and harmony in relationships. So we've been talking about how the blessing of God plays out in our lives, hopefully into godly marriages, hopefully into godly households where our children are in subjection and we're not provoking our kids to anger. So hopefully this is playing out in our households. And it's also, as Scott shared last week, Pastor Scott, he shared about how we can be godly in the workplace. And how we can be great witnesses even in our jobs, right? And how if we're bosses, how we could be godly bosses or godly employees. So all of this sounds amazing, right? I mean, man, if we can have those types of things, godly marriages, godly families, great witnesses in the community and our jobs, then man, we got it, right? This is just going to spread like wildfire, man. We're just going to, the whole city's going to change, man. Society's going to change through this, right? So what is the issue? There is a war. There is a spiritual war, and that's what we're going to talk about today. See, we have to contend with this flesh that's unredeemed, right, and tends to desire the wrong things. We also have to contend with the devil, the enemy of our souls that is against us. And then the way that he's most effective is through the world system, which he uses this world system to come against us and get off track. So we got a battle that we're facing. And it's a formidable enemy, and we're going to talk about that today. But we're also going to know exactly how to fight the good fight of faith. So I've titled it, Fight the Good Fight of Faith. And we're going to understand today, hopefully, if the Holy Spirit shows us with clarity how to win this fight. So let me pray, and we will get right into it. Father, thank you for your people, and thank you that we are here, and our hearts are open to listen, to hear what you have to say to us this morning, because we don't want the enemy to keep stealing in our lives. We don't want the enemy to keep destroying things, including our families. And so, Lord, will you please speak to us this morning and help us to receive understanding And with that understanding, will you also give us power so that we can live for you, God, and understand the battle that's before us and fight this good fight of faith and become victorious, God, and really show who you are in this world. Give us your blessing as we study your word and as we worship you, Lord, by listening to your voice this morning, your word. Give us your blessing, God, in full measure, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, as I was saying, we got a huge battle in front of us. Do not love this world. If you love this world, the love of the Father is not in you. Because all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Isn't that amazing? Everywhere we go in this world, you turn on the television, lust, pride. I don't care what it is. You could be watching just the news and you'll see pride. Everywhere you go, stores, jobs, lust, pride, because that's what rules the world. And it has an influence on us. And so if there was one message I really would want to give to, you know, us, to God's people, it would be this message. Because of the destruction that I've seen in my time in Christ, and not just outside in the world that's so grieving for people to be hurting so bad in their families and all the despair and lack of hope, but man, even some of the things that I've seen inside churches. If there's one message that I would want to give, it would probably be this one. Our first villain for today is our mindset for spiritual war is trusting in the Lord's strength, not ours. That should be our mindset. Our mindset for spiritual war is trusting in the Lord's strength, not our strength, not ours. Look at verse 10. I'm in Ephesians 6 and verse number 10. It's on your notes. And I'm reading from the NASB. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Let me stop there. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Finally. Right? We could read that as final thoughts from Paul, but that word can also be translated henceforth or from now on. From now on, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might can also be read as be empowered by the Lord. See, from now on, from henceforth, from now on, be empowered by the Lord. Hey, is there power in God for us, for our daily battles? Is there power available for us? Or are we just powerless? There is power. And we read about it even in the first chapter. So Ephesians 1, verse 18 reads this way. I pray that the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you would be able to see it, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the boundless, listen to what this says, what is the boundless greatness of his power, God's power, toward us who believe. The boundless greatness of his power toward us who believe. There's power. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. God is powerful. And he shares his power with us, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, and also in the one to come. And he put all things, how many things? All things in subjection under his feet. That's Jesus. And made him head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So I ask the question again, is there power available in Christ for us? Yes, there is power available. And it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. The scriptures say that. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that's in us. It's dunamis power that we received by the Holy Spirit. Power is there. It's not a question of power. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You can't do all things by yourself. You could do it through Christ, the strong one, the one who can give, who gives you the strength, but you can't do it on your own. You'll grow weary. You'll get tired. You'll find yourself hopeless. But in Christ, you will have power. You can do all things through Christ. Now, examples of trusting in God's power, right? You guys remember David? Why did David run against the giant? It says he ran at him. How do you run against Goliath? You're this little guy, ruddy little guy, you know, taking care of a few sheep right there in the hills. And all of Israel is afraid of this man, right? He's a warrior since his youth. 9 feet tall, over 9 feet tall. Warrior, everybody's afraid in Israel. And you got this little guy that says, I'll fight him. Because the same God that was with me when I took the sheep out of the mouth of the lion and out of the mouth of the bear is the same God that's going to be with me when I take out this giant. You see, he goes down there with five little smooth stones and a little slingshot, and he goes and he starts running at the giant. You know why David ran at the giant when everybody else was afraid? Because he knew that the battle was the Lord's. And he knew that in God, that God's power was going to go with him if he trusted God, which God did want him to fight the battle. And he, as he trusted God by going forward, God was with him. And he took out one little smooth stone and he slung it and he hit him right in the middle of the forehead. It sunk in his forehead and that giant fell face forward. And he took his own sword, Goliath's own sword, and chopped his head off in that spiritual war. See, I think of the Apostle Paul. And in 1 Corinthians 16, it says that, in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, hey, I fought beasts in Ephesus. I've been out there fighting my battles, man. There's things coming against me. I fought with beasts in Ephesus. And in the next chapter, he says, hey, there's an opportunity for me to continue to minister here in Ephesus. I'm going to stay here because there's many people that oppose me. I got a lot of opposition here. Well, when you have a lot of opposition somewhere, most of the time you want to slip out, right? Why be in the opposition? But why did Paul decide, hey, I'm going to stay right here. And I'm going to stand right here on the truth because I know who's with me. I know who's backing me up. See, what gives you the strength and the power to stand up against evil and actually fight? It's when you trust in God's power, when you know that it's there. I'll give you one more example. Our prime example, Jesus Christ. When he was anointed and he got baptized, It says that the Spirit of God, God himself, sent him to the wilderness to go fight Satan. And he's fighting him in his own territory here on earth, right there in the wilderness. And he hadn't ate for 40 days. And he's on Satan's turf. The prince of the power of this world. The God of this age, as the scriptures say. And Jesus withstood the onslaught. Oh, you're hungry, huh? You're weak, you're hungry, you need some food. Why don't you turn those stones into bread? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of my God. Oh, why don't you, you know, jump down from the temple? Why don't you get up to the temple and jump down? You know, the Lord is going to send his angels lest you dash your foot against a stone. He's going to take care of you, right? You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Hey, get up on top of these mountains. You see these kingdoms? They're all yours if you just bow down to me. You shall worship God, and only he shall you serve. See, he was standing. He was weak. In his flesh, he hadn't ate for 40 days, but he was going to stand. He was going to believe. He was trusting. There's power available, and the devil, if you remember in that instance in Matthew 4, he had to flee. He left, ready to come back at another opportune time. Oh, he's coming back. Spiritual warfare. But do we have the power to stand? Yes, we do. Why do we lack power then? Okay, we know that there's power, and we know that we could trust God and we could stand, right? We got the examples and we should know how to do it, but what's the problem? I'll show you the example. The Bible gives us examples from people in the Old Testament as to why they couldn't stand. By the way, they were in the wilderness too. What was the difference with them? Look at 1 Corinthians 10. I'm going to read verse 3 through 13. But look at what happened in the desert. God's people were rescued out of Egypt, out of their slavery. And they were, God parted the Red Sea. They saw amazing miracles. They go into the wilderness, right? God's preparing them to go into the promised land. But as we know, they ended up going for 40 years round and round. And they ended up, many of them died in the wilderness. Why? Why? Look at what it says. 1 Corinthians 10, I'm on verse 3. All of them ate the same spiritual food. Hey, aren't we eating the same spiritual food right here? Yeah. And some of us can fight. Some of us maybe not. But we're all eating the same food. And it says, and all of them drank the same spiritual water. For they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them. And that rock was Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. These things happened as a warning to us so that we would not crave evil things as they did. Did they have to deal with their unredeemed flesh in the wilderness? Yes. Were they craving the wrong things and allowing themselves to crave the wrong things? Yes. Or worship idols as some of them did. Were they worshiping idols? How do you worship idols in the desert? You see the spiritual wars also in the desert? We could try to isolate ourselves from people and things and stuff, but the war is right there, regardless of where you go. And it says, as the scriptures say, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking. In other translations, oh, they got up to eat and drink and play. They rose up just to drink and eat and play and live in pleasure, right? As they indulged in pagan revelry. And we must not engage in immorality, sexual immorality, as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Now, they had help with that because Balak sent some women from the mountains to entice them. But they still made the decision, right? Nor should we put Christ to the test, as some of them did and then died from snake bites. And don't grumble, a lot of them were complaining, don't grumble as some of them did. And then they were destroyed by the angel of death. These things happened. Why did these things happen? To them, as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. This is the end of the age. It's been the end of the age. And that was written, still written for us, so that we don't do those things. Because we're talking about spiritual warfare. Why do we lose? Because maybe sometimes we do what they did. We start losing the fight. If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. Other translations, take heed lest you fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. No, we're all getting tempted the same. God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure it. Isn't that amazing? Because sometimes, oh, it's too much. I'm being tempted and I got to give in to it. I got to do the wrong thing again. No, you don't have to do the wrong thing again. All of us are taught right from wrong. You don't have to keep doing the wrong thing. He has power so that you could stand, but you got to courageously face the giant. And you can't just keep giving into it and then excuse it. See, there's a battle to be fought. And some of us could be fighting it, and some of us could just be giving into it. But the consequences can be severe when we give in during the fight. They could be devastating. And that's why it's important for us to understand the battle that we're up against. Now look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. I'm in Ephesians 6, and I'm reading verse 11. It says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Put on the full armor of God. Now we're starting to get some instructions as to how we win. Now, in the Greek, it would read out, put it on, the whole armor of God, and keep it on. Don't take it off. Put on the full armor of God and keep it on. Now, what is the full armor of God? I'm not going to go too much into it because in verses 14 through 17, it's going to describe the armor of God. And so whoever's preaching next week will help explain some of those things to you. But I'll tell you what he's talking about here, the full armor of God. It's really, at the core of it, it's really a life of faith. See, it's a life of truth. If you have the full armor of God, because, you know, some people would just declare it upon themselves. I got the full armor of God. Well, maybe you don't. You can't just declare it on yourself. Because it's a life of truth. The belt of truth, right? Well, I'm lying to everybody, but I got the belt of truth on. No, you don't. It means you're telling the truth. See, it's a life of truth. So if you want to know how to put on the full armor of God, it's a life of truth. It's a life of righteousness, right living, right? It's a life of peace with people, making peace with people. It's a life that's full of faith. It's a life that's full of God's word. And that's why you could stand, because as soon as the temptation comes, you preach it and you speak like Jesus did, and you stand on the word of God and you don't give in. And it's a life of prayer if you continue to study. And I'm not going to go too much into it because it's going to be talked about in verse 14 through 17. But understand that by even him stating, put on the full armor of God, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about a life of obedience, obeying God. And look at what else it says on verse 11. I'm still on verse 11. It says, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Fill in number two, understand the devil's intentions and methods. Methods is your fill in. So understand the devil's intentions and methods. Now, what's the devil's intention in our lives? Jesus said it the most clear, right? He said, the thief comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he wants to do in your life. That's what he wants to do in your family. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. That's why Paul also says, don't let the thief steal any longer. Don't give him a foothold. That's why these things are said. Fight your battles. Obey God. The schemes of the devil, like I said, it's talking about, and the names of the devil in the Bible, by the way, maybe somebody's here or listening, I don't really believe in the devil. I don't know. Well, certainly Jesus did. He dealt with him face to face. Certainly the Bible believes in that. The apostles, the Old Testament. But listen to some of the names of the devil in the Bible, and it'll tell you everything you need to know about him. Satan, he's an adversary. He's against God. He's against, if you're following God, he's against you. And he's against God's purposes. The slanderer, dragon, the serpent, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, the tempter, the liar, the murderer, the roaring lion, Abaddon in Revelation, which means destroyer. Does that tell you right there what Satan wants to do? Very much. So he's the spirit that works outside of us. If you're a spirit-filled Christian, if you know Christ and he's in your heart, if the Holy Spirit is inside of you, then guess what? Satan is not working inside of you. He's the spirit that's at work in the sons of disobedience, the people that are in unbelief. And yeah, he gets you to do things you shouldn't be doing. But when you have the Holy Spirit, does the devil disappear? No. He's still against you, but he's working outside of you. And he's still trying to entice you to do the wrong things. So he's still at work, and he's still your enemy. That's the only difference. Now, how does the devil work? Through temptations, through lies, through deceit. You remember Eve? Eve, you don't eat of that tree. Of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat it. You can have everything else in this garden. Do not eat of that tree. She knew right from wrong. How did the devil induce her? By lies, deception, right? Oh, did God say that? Oh, he doesn't want you to have that because the day that you eat of that tree, you know, you're going to have wisdom like him. She was deceived. She fell to the deceit. See, she could have obeyed God and said, I'm not going to listen to that voice. I know what God said, and I'm going to follow God. But she listened to the voice. And she was deceived. I had a kid one day, some kids. I used to do ministry here in Colonia. I still do, but I was there when I first started ministry. And, you know, you got kids in the gangs that go by there. And I was doing a Bible study for some kids we had taken to camp. I was offering a Bible study, chips, soda, you know, I had some goodies right there, trying to get the kids to learn the Bible. So the gangsters rolled by, right? And they're flashing their signs and everything, you know. And so I told them, hey, guys, why don't you guys come and share, you know, come hear the scripture, you know? And and they're, of course, they're like, nah, we're, you know, COCH and Colonia, and they're doing their gang thing, right? And so I said, hey guys, we have some chips. I noticed they were high. They had been smoking weed. So I said, hey guys, there's some chips. There's some stuff to drink right here. You know, like non-alcoholic, of course. There's soda. There's chips. You know, the munchies. Come over here, guys. We can. I just wanted them to hear something, right? So they come in there mocking, right? But they're just trying to take advantage of the food, right, and the drinks. And, You know, I remember I changed the subject on the Bible study, and I went into the demoniac. And when Jesus faced the demoniac, right? What do we have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Did you come to torment us? And all these demon spirits, and how Jesus set that man free, right? And cast those demons out into the pigs. And these kids were like laser eye focused, right? They sobered up. And at the end of that time, hey, man, could you pray for my mom? Hey, could you pray for me? And it changed everything. But one of the things that I remember telling those kids is like, hey, guys, let me tell you this. When you were first growing up, what's going to happen to you if you keep doing what you're doing? If you're successful at what you're doing right now, being in a gang, what's going to happen to you? And all of them confessed. I'm probably going to get stabbed. I'm probably going to end up in a hospital. I'm probably going to be in prison. That stuff, right? Hey, when you were a kid, did you envision that? Is that what you wanted for your life? You didn't want that for your life. So who's working in you then? And if all power is Jesus Christ, and if he's able to drive out all those evil spirits, and he has power over that, don't you think you need him in your life? Otherwise, your life's going to be destroyed. Give your life to Christ. He has the power to save it. Otherwise, you're going to keep losing your battles. And it's going to end in destruction. Look at verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. See, it's our struggle. It's like a wrestling match. It's a fight. And it's not against people. It's not against flesh and blood. And that's why your fill-in is stop fighting people. The enemy is powerful, highly organized, and invisible. Hey, what are you going to do against an invisible enemy? It's not against flesh and blood, against rulers, powers, world. Notice that it says world forces. You know there's demonic activity over this world that we live in that's out here doing Satan's business? There's world forces, and there's also powerful forces, demonic forces in the heavenly realms fighting the holy angels, and there's spiritual forces here inducing people to do the wrong thing and using the world system to do it, duping everybody. So how do you win? He's invisible. What are you going to do? Are you going to fight him with your brains because you're super smart? So you're going to outwit the devil? No, you're not. He's been since the beginning, since way back. This isn't his first rodeo. You're not going to outsmart the devil. Are you going to do it with your muscles because you're strong? No. Are you going to do it with guns? He's invisible. Are you going to do it with a nuclear weapon? No, he's invisible. You can't do it. You're not powerful enough to do that. So there's a powerful, highly organized enemy that's against God and against you and wants to destroy. And the only way that we win is by obeying God, by staying in faith, by standing in the Word of God, by living a pure life and not giving in to our wrong desires. Because then the power comes to us. By God. Look at verse 13, because I got to move. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist on the evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm. See, that's what it's all about. Resist. Stand firm. Therefore, because of what we're up against, because all of us here hopefully recognize that we're toast against these spiritual forces, and they're everywhere. They were even in the desert. They go with us. We can't escape them, and the only way we win is by obeying God, and the power of God comes, and then the devil has to flee. But that's what we're up against, and that hopefully gets us to a place where we have to humble ourselves and say, okay, Lord, I can't do it. that leads us to submit our lives. And our fourth and last fill-in is God's power will never lack from a life that is submitted to God's will. God's power will never lack from a life that is submitted to God's will. Listen, guys, that's how I came into God's kingdom. I came in because I knew there was a fight. And I knew that I needed to win that fight. And I knew I needed to stand on God's word. And I knew I needed to keep fighting. I knew I wasn't going to give in to evil anymore because evil had destroyed my life. And now I knew God was real, and now I was hanging on to God, and I wasn't letting go. The kingdom of heaven suffers violent. The violent take it by force. The forceful, they go into the kingdom. They're going to stand on God's word. They're going to trust God. They're going to get on their knees. And the power of God's going to come. And he's going to give us the power to resist. Submit to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. James 4, 6 and 7. But he gives greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then he's going to come back later, and then you're going to do the same thing. And that's how we stay free. That's how we win our battles. And that's how we can pray for people and bless people and encourage people and stay in faith and raise good families. And be good witnesses, but it takes a battle. And I'll share one last scripture as we go into communion. Let's get our hearts and minds ready for communion. I'll read this scripture as we get our hearts prepared for that. I'm reading from Colossians 1, verse 9. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way that you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power so that you will have all the endurance and patience that you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. That's our prayer for you this morning. I hope you receive it. And for those of you that haven't allowed Christ into your lives, into your hearts, man, what are you waiting for? More destruction, more despair, more hopelessness.
Power comes. It's always available to those who submit.
God, as we take communion.